There's our fanfare we look forward to each and every Thursday. My good friend Matt Olean stops by the Main Street studio again. Matt, welcome back to Main Street.
Thanks, Greg. Good to talk to you.
We're going to continue your review of the top movies of all time. Last week, we talked about movies number 20 through 11. So now, film lovers, buckle up. This time, we're going to roll out the red carpet for Matt's top 10 movies of all time. And Matt, before we get into that, when was the last time this list changed?
Oh, a couple of years ago, I switched some things around a little bit. Dropped some things, moved some things up, that kind of thing.
Well, let's get to movie number 10. It's one we've all heard about, Matt. I wonder how many of us have really seen it.
Well, I think a lot of people have seen Casablanca. Yeah. I would hope so by this time. It's the film with more good lines than any other movie in history, right? Every 20, 30 seconds, there's a good line coming out of these actors' mouths. And my question is, what were those writers eating for breakfast? I mean, it's just, and there's lines that we all know today, you know, round up the usual suspects, things like that. Just a great film, and a film that was not supposed to be a great film. It was kind of a Warner Brothers film that I don't think they had a lot of hopes for, but it became this big thing, and over the years it became a cult film on television late night, and it's got maybe the best last line of any movie as Bogart and Claude Rains walk off into the fog. You know, Louis, I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship, and it really is an interesting film too, because it gave Americans kind of what was at stake in World War II, and Bogart eventually can't sit it out. He doesn't want to be involved, but in the end he does the right thing.
Number 9, Death in Venice.
Yeah, 1971, Luchino Visconti, Italian filmmaker. This is maybe the big art house film of all time. It's not a lot of dialogue in this movie. Dirk Bogarde is the star. It's ostensibly based on the composer Gustav Mahler. And of course, Mahler's music is much in the film. Not an easy sit for a lot of people because there's not a lot of dialogue, but it's a beautiful film. Captivated me when I first saw it kind of in my post-college years, and certainly one that a lot of my friends have not seen. So I love it, though.
Number 8, The Deer Hunter, a drama that follows, wasn't it three close friends from Pennsylvania, Matt?
Yeah. It's a mining town. Robert De Niro, Chris Walken wins the supporting actor Oscar. A film I saw when I was 14, right when it won the Best Picture Oscar. My dad and I went to the movie, and at that time, it was probably the best film I think I'd ever seen. But I was still a year away from seeing a couple films that are coming up in the list. But kind of a life-changing experience watching this movie. Just so intense. Michael Cimino, who never, ever got close to equaling this success. His next film was Heaven's Gate, the disastrous film that, you know, ruined his career, basically. But it's a leisurely paced film. You know, that first hour or so, as you remember, Craig, is the wedding sequence. I mean, they're, you know, one of the friends gets married. They go off to Vietnam. There's not a Vietnam scene until about an hour and 20 minutes into this movie, but the Russian roulette scenes are intense. People never forget those scenes. Some controversy over those scenes, whether that stuff really happened in POW camps or not. There was some pushback against the film at the time, but a gripping film, and just you feel the, I've driven through those steel towns in Pennsylvania, Craig, and shooting it right where they did in a Pennsylvania steel town, you feel kind of the dirt and the grime of that city and its effect on people. Maybe Robert De Niro's best underrated performance, too, as the lead character in the film.
All right, let's move up your list, Matt, of the top 10 movies of all time. Now we are at number 7.
The Third Man from 1950. This is a film that is on Turner Classic a lot. Joseph Cotten, Orson Welles, Trevor Howard, kind of Vienna after World War II. The film was, you know, the city was partitioned between the British and the Americans and the Russians, and it's kind of an espionage thriller. Carol Reed, the British director, has these kind of odd angles he shoots the film in. It feels like a Hitchcock film, except it's not a Hitchcock film. Some great lines in the movie, some of the great last shot that everyone, not everyone, but people who've seen it kind of know what I'm talking about. Orson Welles' appearance late in the film is this amazing cameo he has. Just a wonderful film.
Let's continue moving up. Number 6.
If, 1968, directed by Lindsay Anderson, a British film director. I always say this is the best film that almost no one's ever seen. It's the film that made Malcolm McDowell a star right before Clockwork Orange came out. And it's about a British boys' school at the time, late 60s, rebellion going on. And it's really a film ahead of its time. I'm not going to reveal too much about the ending, but the ending is shocking and almost foretelling of what would happen at schools in future years, basically in America. But just a crazy film to watch, beautiful to watch. The film goes back and forth between color and black and white. And as Lindsay Anderson said at the time, the film is kind of like the writing on the wall. And I would say that's a very accurate depiction of that movie. And the title, If, is based on the Kipling poem, If.
Matt, we've talked about this before, but a movie like this, could I find it on a streaming service
today? Boy, If is a hard one to find. I caught it home from college one time. My brother had an early dish in Oaks, North Dakota, and I don't know how I saw it, but I when I started watching it, I realized this is the film that my film book had been talking about, this Leslie Hollywell film book that I got in high school that really was a masterful book about this British film critic named Leslie Hollywell, who kind of went through films and reviewed them and whatnot. And then I saw it. I saw the whole thing again and was just captivated by it. I'm not sure how to find that movie. It's IF... That's the name of the film.
We're visiting with Matt Olean. Of course, he reviews movies every week. We're going through the top 10 movies. His 10th movie was Casablanca. Number 9 was Death in Venice. Number 8, The Deer Hunter. Number 7, The Third Man. Number 6, If, 1968. Now, Matt, we are into your top 5. What is your 5th best show of all time in your mind?
Bonnie and Clyde, 1967. This is a film that certainly changed the face of American cinema. That last scene, Craig, that everyone is kind of familiar with, no one had ever seen a scene like that in theaters up until that time. The slow motion death scene, you know, the bullets, the blood. But it's almost like a ballet. You know, you almost feel sorry for Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway at the end because Arthur Penn, the director, has manipulated the audience into seeing them as kind of like anti-heroes. You know, the banks are the villains. And just the way the film is shot, kind of that Flatt and Scruggs music in the background, you know, as they're getting chased by the cops. And, you know, it really portrays the criminals as really heroes. And I think that was the twist they pulled off in the late 60s. When it was first released, right away, it was not a hit, but eventually it became a hit. People saw it on television. And as I said, that last scene is a scene that was groundbreaking.
We advance now to number 4. Who can forget Peter O'Toole, for those of you who have seen Lawrence of Arabia, Matt?
Saw this in the theater last year on a re-release. It is a dream of a film. Steven Spielberg once called it that, a dream of a film. In fact, he saw it in high school, Craig, and he said, when I saw the film, I wanted to be a filmmaker. And then he said, I went back a second time, and I didn't want to be a filmmaker because David Lean, the director, had set the bar too high. Like Spielberg thought, no one can make a movie like this. If this movie was shot today, Craig, the desert would be CGI'd in. This was filmed in the desert, in Morocco, in Jordan. Peter O'Toole's performance, he's really touched by something, don't you think, Craig? I mean, sometimes I think in acting or art, there's something different that's touching someone. His performance is just insane. It's so good. And that's what he was associated with the rest of his career. But the desert looks great. Maybe the most beautiful film ever shot, and it would look totally different today if it was made today.
Your next film, Matt, is a classic. And this is a film, and looking back, I can't understand why our parents took us, but we saw this at the drive-in, Matt, when I was 10 years old. And of course, it's The Godfather.
You saw it when you were 10. I had to wait till I was like 14. Wow, that's quite a memory, Craig.
I think they banked that I was going to go to sleep here before things started
awake when the horse head came?
I remember that well.
So this is, I read the book first. Yeah, my mom let me read the book. I had to kind of wait a little bit to see the movie on TV. And we're talking about part one, 1972. You know, it's better than the book. They took on a lot of salacious stuff from Mario Puzo's book. But, you know, famously, Francis Coppola, the director, had a hard time casting this movie. Paramount wanted nothing to do with Marlon Brando as Don Corleone. They did not want Al Pacino, then an unknown, as Michael. You know, they wanted other people. Well, Coppola was right. And from the opening scene, if you remember, Craig, this man in this dark room, and the camera zooms out from him. He's telling about his daughter being raped and beaten, and the men who did this got a suspended sentence. And then at the end, he says, for justice, we must go to Don Corleone. And of course, the camera pulls out, and it's Marlon Brando as this mafia don. And you're locked in. And that first 30 minutes is all the wedding scene, and you kind of learn the exposition of all the characters you're supposed to know. going through this. Amazing performances by Brando and Pacino, but the supporting performances, James Caan, Robert Duvall, it's perfectly cast. It's like a snake pit. You're just into it immediately. And, you know, I've run into a lot of people that see this movie for the first time and they don't move for 3 hours. They don't move. They're transfixed. The ending scene is amazing. You know, Michael eventually becomes the head of the family, becomes even a worse killer than his father. And it sets the tone for part two, of course, which came 2 years later.
Your second top movie of all time, Matt, is?
Citizen Kane. Now, Skip Wood, who used to work here as our producer, called it the most overrated movie of all time. I don't think so. I've seen this movie at least 5 or 6 times. Its reputation precedes it. A lot of people think it's the best film ever made. I think a couple things that are interesting about this movie, it looks different than any other movie made in 1941, right, Craig? I mean, the ceiling shots, the way the camera, the Greg Tolan cinematography, and also the amazing screenplay by Herman Mankiewicz and Orson Welles. It's flashbacks within flashbacks. The timing of the film, the time structure is so strange. As this famous man dies, the reporter tries to find out what Rosebud means. And he interviews all these people who have memories of Kane, but they all have different flashbacks of him. And the timeline jumps around, but you're able to follow it. And so the screenplay was revolutionary as well at the time. So amazing movie. I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but for cinephiles like myself, there's so many tricks and treats to watch every time you see it.
But there's one movie, Matt, that you thought was better, and rarely do sequels live up to their originals. What's your most favorite movie of all time?
I think it's The Godfather Part Two. It enlarges the scope of Part One in that Part Two, you get the flashbacks to Vito coming from Sicily. You know, Robert De Niro plays the Brando character. Plus, it's Michael in the late 50s and, you know, Lake Tahoe and Cuba and Las Vegas and all these things. And so it really becomes, I think, an epic vision of the corruption of the American dream. That's what that movie is. It's not only the best film I've ever seen, it's the best film ever made about America. You know, you've got the immigrant story, the corruption of the American dream. You know, Michael's fate is sealed once he shoots the cop in Part One. He's going to be the head of the family. There's so many great scenes in this movie. You know, down in Havana where Michael gives Fredo the kiss on the lips, the kiss of death. You broke my heart, Fredo. There's a scene near the end of the film where Robert Duvall visits Michael V. Gazzo in prison. And Gazzo plays Frankie Five Angels. That is such a great scene. A lot of people who are listening will know what I'm talking about. Just a monumental film. It's beautiful to watch. You know, the ending is heartbreaking as Michael looks back on his life. And just an amazing film. I sometimes I think I'll never see another film that good in my life. And it kind of depresses me. Maybe I won't. But maybe that's the best film I'll ever see or ever will see.
Time will tell. The next one could be around the corner, Matt.
You never know.
We'll be here with you as new films come out. You've got a blockbuster to review next week. We'll tease that a little bit.
Yeah, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning. It hit big at the box office over the Memorial Day weekend. And not only are we going to review that, Craig, I'm going to pose the question. And I posed it on Facebook. Is Tom Cruise the greatest male film star of all time? And I am very serious with this question. We've got a sample size of over 40 years now of his movies, and we'll talk about it.
I am looking forward to that. Let's go toward the Oscar trivia part of our segment, Matt. Which of the following films in your top 10 list did not win the Academy Award for Best Picture? Here's your subset of those films to pick from. The Godfather Part II, The Deer Hunter, Casablanca, and Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane famously did not win Best Picture. It only won one Oscar that night for Best Screenplay.
That's correct, and that was your second favorite movie. All right, Matt, let's bounce down a little farther here. Okay. Citizen Kane was nominated for Best Picture. Bonnie and Clyde did not win. It was also nominated for Best Picture. Which of your top 10 movies were not nominated, Matt, for Best Picture?
So If, The Third Man, and Death in Venice were not nominated for Best Picture.
Uncanny, Matt. We've been to the movies, all of Matt's best movies, with our movie reviewer, Matt O'Lee. Thanks for joining us on Main Street.
You bet.